for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, December the 28th, 2008. Carl Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the bastard spirit.
Okay, what I want to talk to you today about, and you've heard this teaching before, not only from me but from others, but you know what happens when you hear a teaching over and over and over again? You get more and more and more deliverance about that thing. So don't feel bad if you've already heard this teaching. But it is on the bastard spirit. And I was very thankful for Richard's sermon. He wouldn't call it a sermon, his teaching, whatever, this morning. About the fact that God loves you. And, you know, people can tell you all day long, every day of your life, that God loves you. But if this spirit is present, you can't receive it. It's the bastard spirit. And I had that. It operated in my life for 30 years. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the testimony about how the bastard spirit held me in bondage. And the more time goes on, the more I see that this is a very active spirit in the church and in the world. And I'm going to talk about the different ways that the bastard spirit is how you get it and what it does to you. But I was the baby of my family. And you know how, you know, people always, the baby is babied and spoiled. And I was spoiled, but I wasn't rotten. My daddy wouldn't allow me to be rotten. Oh, no, I was not rotten. You know, there's a difference between being spoiled and being bratty. I was never allowed to be a brat. My daddy disciplined me. He loved me enough to discipline me. And I was very much loved, but I didn't feel loved. And I didn't understand why I didn't feel loved, because I was very loved. But that it, I know now that it was the bastard spirit, and I know that it is in a lot of us here today. The word bastard comes, it's a curse. And it's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 2. And it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, Mr. Jennings mentioned incest. He talked about incest last night. And that is also a curse that carries a 10-generation curse. It is a very serious thing to God. Incest and the bastard spirit. Very serious. So much so that it to the 10th generation. Now, in the Old Testament, that was literal. If you were born illegitimately, and interestingly enough, in the Strong's Concordance, that definition, it says from an unused root meaning to alienate. And that's exactly what the spirit does. It alienates you from God. It alienates you from other people. That's why Richard said, you know, that he held everybody at a distance. He wouldn't let anybody get close. And if they did get close, he would do something to cause them to push him away, to kick him out. That's how that spirit operates. It's a very cruel spirit. It will not allow you to receive love or give love. So it will alienate you. I can remember in elementary school, there would be, it seems like every year there was one child who would separate himself from the rest of the people at the table. You would see all the other kids sitting together, talking, having a good time, but there would always be one who was five or six chairs down there all by themselves. And it's because it's a spirit of rejection. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder if this bastard spirit is not the root of the spirit of rejection. Because that is exactly what the bastard spirit is all about, is rejection. So, another meaning is a mongrel, mixed or unknown origin. See, in the Old Testament, God said to the Israelites, when they were passing through the lands, he took them out of Egypt and they were on their way to Canaan, and he said, when you pass through these other lands, do not take their sons for your daughters and do not give your daughters to their sons. It was very important to God to keep his people pure, to keep the race pure. And I believe he really means that for all things to stay pure. Otherwise, you get a mixture and then it's broken down and it's not as strong as it could be if it was in its pure state. It means born in the Old Testament, born of a Jewish father and a heathen mother. So when the Hebrew people went outside and took another woman and had a baby with it, in God's eyes, that baby was a bastard because it was not pure. Okay, the Webster Dictionary meaning is an illegitimate child born of a father and mother who are not married. So the birth is not lawful, not proper. It has a questionable origin. It's considered irregular. And that word means not conforming to established laws. Now, see, you can find the manifestations, the effect that the bastard spirit has on a person by these definitions. Not conforming to established laws. So a person who has the bastard spirit working in their life will usually be rebellious. They don't want to conform to the laws of the land or God's laws. They are rebellious. Even it says not conforming to established laws, customs, or moral principles. Not belonging to a recognized or organized body. So rebellious. And not belonging can make you feel like you're not part of the group. In my case, I felt absolutely invisible. I felt like nobody saw me. Nobody heard me. Like I didn't even really count in the world. And the spirit will set up satanic setups to reinforce that to you over and over again. In my case, of course, as a kid being the baby, there are some disadvantages to being the baby because the baby is the baby. You know, everybody listens to the elder ones, but the baby kind of gets, you're just a baby. And it doesn't matter how old you get, you're always the baby. And so then I got married. I thought, oh, I couldn't wait to grow up because then, you know, I would be somebody. I would be somebody's wife. So then I got married and we would go places and people would say, oh, we'd go to a party or something. This is Mike Butod and this is, oh, well, you know Lois and Carson, that's their daughter. Or if I was at, you know, somewhere where they knew my aunt and uncle, this is Mike Butod and this is, oh, you know, then that's her niece or her brother or, I mean, she's his sister. Or it never was just me all by myself. I thought, am I anybody? Just all by myself? They never would get around to my name. That got to be a problem. So I would just start stepping out and saying, hi, my name is Carla. Carla. You know, it's like, somebody please notice that I am existing. But that's what the bastard spirit will do. It'll just make you feel like you are nobody. I could be in a crowd and everybody else would be talking. Nobody speaks to me. I think, Lord, am I invisible? Does anybody see me? But really and truly, what this is all about is to make you feel like such a misfit that you become oversensitive. Then you really get, you know, oversensitive. And this is going to have different effects on you. You're almost kind of like the kid on the baseball team that when they're choosing all the team, you know good and well you're going to be last because nobody wants you. Okay, so you're considered irregular and you're also considered inferior. That's where the inferiority complex comes from. is from the bastard spirit. Inferior means situated lower down, so you never really feel like you're good enough. Of lower degree or rank, of little or less importance, value, or merit. An acute sense of personal inferiority resulting in either, this is important, this is going to cause one of two things to happen, either extreme timidity, like a shrinking violet type thing. You know, you go into a crowd and you just kind of start disappearing. Or in an exaggerated aggressiveness, which is the cause of anger and rage, which is a spirit all by itself. But the bastard spirit will bring that on. Okay, so how do we get this? It can be generationally inherited. I never even knew such a spirit existed until an uncle of mine who came to visit. This was back in 88. I didn't know anything about deliverance. And he came into my house and started praying in the spirit all over my house. And then he comes back in and he says, "Can I pray for you?" And I said, "Sure." You know, so the church I was raised in, we get very reverent. And he starts, you know, commanding out this spirit and that spirit. And I'm like, and one of them was the spirit of illegitimacy. And I thought, what are you talking about? I'm the baby of the family. You know, they were married years and years and years before I was born. So I said, "Well, tell me about this spirit. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you know, I was a little puzzled myself because he knew that I was the baby of the family, that my mother and daddy were married." And let me explain this about the bastard spirit. A lot of people don't understand that when you are, and I say it's illegitimate, but when you are born, it's the conception that makes the difference. It's not, you know, because someone will get pregnant before they're married, then they get married, so surely the bastard spirit, you know, because the baby's not a bastard, because they're married now and the baby has a father. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with how the baby was conceived. If the baby is conceived out of wedlock, the bastard spirit is there. Now, in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to go in. When the people of God congregated, they were not literally and physically not allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. They were ostracized. They may as well have had leprosy. This day and time, we would never do that to anybody. But the way it affects the person is not physically, literally. It is spiritual. You can come into the congregation of the Lord, but you never really enter in. You're held on the outskirts, on the outside. And I thought that was interesting. Richard said, "I went from place to place to place to place." That's what that is a manifestation of the bastard spirit. When you can't, like, you join a church, but you don't stay there very long. You go from place to place to place to place because you never fit in. You don't feel accepted. You become oversensitive, so you're very easily offended. Then that stirs up anger. Then you leave that place and go to another place, and it happens over and over again. The satanic setups for the bastard spirit. But there's good news. Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. But, you know, even though he shed his blood and broke all these things, if we don't know to apply the blood of Jesus directly to that, then it can be operating even though you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, because it did in my life. Okay. So you're either going to respond to that with timidity, which means you ostracize yourself. You don't want to be rejected, so you just pull back altogether so nobody can reject you. You begin to build walls of self-protection. So it can come generationally. It was born. I was born with it. Even though I wasn't illegitimately conceived, it came down the family line. It follows the family for 10 generations. That's 400 years. As I have studied my generational line, it's never been told to me that my father was conceived illegitimately. But most of the time, when a baby is conceived illegitimately, the marriage doesn't last very long after the first child is born. Even though they get married to make it right, 2 or 3 years, that's about it. Unless Jesus comes into the situation and and it's made right. But that was the case in my mother and dad. I mean, in my daddy's parents. And there was a lot of promiscuity. That's another thing from the bastard spirit. I mean, there's a lot of manifestations. So that was born into me. And my mother, on my mother's side, my mother was not illegitimate, but her mother was. Her mother was abandoned at birth. So there was the bastard spirit working on her side and on his side. And it came right into me, and it came right into my children. It was also prevalent in my father, in my husband's life, because his dad was the result of an adulterous affair. So you see, this spirit is widespread. I don't think there's hardly anybody that's not touched by it. So you can get it generationally, or you could have been conceived out of wedlock. That's what a bastard is. And you look at our world today. Look at our world today. The babies that are being born out of wedlock. And one of the, because the spiritual curse is that you cannot enter into the spirit of the Lord or into the congregation of the Lord, that spirit doesn't keep you out of church, but it alienates you from God. And as time goes on, you aren't even interested in the things of God. Even though you're in church and you're seeking, you're really not interested in it, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. But in 15 to 20 years, we're going to see, I mean, an evil outbreak, if we're here that long, an evil outbreak from all of these children that are being born out of wedlock who will have no interest in the things of God. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Okay, now, there is another way that the bastard spirit can enter into a person, and I'm going to read those scriptures. It's Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. We're starting at 8. Let me start at verse 6. Hebrews 12, 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Do you see that? So fathers, know this, that if you do not discipline your children, to them it means you don't love them. And that if the spiritual spirit of the bastard enters into that child, and the consequences of that are dire. So you can have it, it can be generationally inherited, it can be by conception, and it can be by not having proper discipline from your father. Yeah, rebelling against God. In Zechariah 9:6, actually, there's only like three places where the word bastard is even mentioned in the Bible. And another place is in Zechariah 9:6. It says, "And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod." Now, you look up the word Ashdod in the Strong's Concordance, and it means ravager, one who practices ravaging. Ravage means damage resulting from ravaging, to lay waste, plunder, destroy, ruin. Ravage suggests violent, often repeated or continuing depredation and destruction, pillaging, looting, taking the booty, plundering, a destroying agent, and something taken by force or theft. So usually people, you can spot the spirit of the bastard working in people who have a destructive spirit. You ever known anybody that could get something brand new and within 6 months it looks 100 years old, it's filthy, it's falling apart, they don't take care of it? There's garbage in the bottom of the, you know, it just, this is a manifestation of the bastard spirit. It's an unclean spirit that comes in. A person who has the bastard spirit will not even keep themselves clean. They have an unclean, either they'll talk unclean, they have, You know, you can know somebody who's very prim and proper, but they'll tell a dirty joke and enjoy it. That's an unclean spirit. Or they'll have dirty hair all the time. They don't take care of themselves. They'll have extreme body odor. And all of those things are manifested because they have such a spirit of rejection and they allow themselves to get this way so that other people will be repelled from them. And then the spirit of rejection comes up and says, see, they don't want you either. That's how cruel this spirit is. They have no respect for themselves because they don't feel like anybody loves them. And it's that distance that is there because of the curse of the bastard operating in their life. And so I had this spirit. Baby of the family, loved and doted over, but I felt unloved. I was not convinced that my mother and daddy loved me, even though, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I could stand up here till I'm blue in the face and say, God loves you. He loves you. He voluntarily got on the cross and died for you. But if this spirit is in your life, you can't receive it. There is an unloving spirit present that keeps you from receiving the love of God. It keeps you receiving love from another, like your husband or your wife or your mother or your daddy. And it keeps you from loving like you want to love. You can't even, I couldn't even love my children until this was broken in my life. I couldn't receive love and I couldn't give love. And where that ended up was a severe depression, which I'm beginning to wonder now if depression is not just a side effect of the root of the spirit of the bastard and rejection. Not all by itself depression, but depression as a result of the bastard spirit. So I ended up in this terrible depression. I didn't even want to live. My response to this was not timidity. It was in-your-face anger to the point that I had totally ruined whatever love and affection my husband had for me because I couldn't receive it. And my response to that was anger. I had all these expectations, you know, that he was supposed to live up to, and he couldn't do it. I had expectations of myself I couldn't live up to. It was killing me. It was absolutely killing me, which, by the way, is exactly what the devil wants to do to you. That's his thing, steal, kill, and destroy. So here I am, you know, all I ever wanted to do, my dream as a young girl was to grow up and get married and have babies, have my own house, you know. I was very domestic, but it didn't bring me joy. The bastard spirit will rob you of the joy that God has planned for you. He'll rob you from it. And so I found myself in a very deep, dark hole of despair. Job says in the scriptures, he says, let the day perish in which I was born. Boy, I can relate to that. I didn't even want to be alive. Now, suicide was never a thought because I'm a chicken. I am a big baby. I'm scared. I'm scared of pain. I couldn't swallow an aspirin, couldn't swallow pills, needles. You had to chase me to give me a shot, which is another manifestation of the bastard spirit is extreme fear. Phobias come out of that. Extreme fear. Boy, I would run. One time I ran down the beach about 2 miles, but until I was just so exhausted. And never mind what people were thinking of me. I mean, I had such terror. And a bee came. You know, you're sunbathing. Man. Everybody else is just laying around. The bee's not even touching them. See, he's not interested. If you're not afraid of him, he's not interested in you. He's going to come to the one that fears him. And I ran. I had an umbrella, and I was swatting at that bee, but see, it's an natural fear. I also had that about small places. Elevators. I wouldn't get on an elevator. I would climb the stairs 18 flights if we were on the 18th floor. You wouldn't get me in an elevator because I had a fear of death. Now, I also had another spirit working in my life that a lot of these things run like parallel, and that was the spirit of abortion. So sometimes it's hard for me to, if I had to draw a line and put one on this side for bastard and one on this side for abortion, sometimes they went on both sides. But that extreme fear can also be there if you have a spirit of abortion, which is kind of like the bastard spirit, because if a woman gets pregnant and she doesn't want the baby, the spirit of abortion can come in, but it's also the most extreme rejection there can be. So they're closely related, abortion and the bastard spirit. Another thing in this Ashdod, see, they were sent to live in another place. It says, they plunder, they destroy. That destructive spirit, instead of taking care of something, like I see that, I know it's in my children, and when they're ready, that can be broken off of them. But right now, I have two children that are in rebellion, and that's probably the reason they're in rebellion, is because they're suffering from the bastard spirit. But they're so far in rebellion that I can't reach them with that right now, but there will come a time when they're ready. And that's one of the first things that will have to be broken off of their life. I wish I'd known about it, you know, when they were babies. When your children are babies, you can, you know, when you learn these things and you get delivered from them, then you have the authority to break them off of your children. But I see it in my grandbaby. You know, just for no reason at all, her toy will be on the floor and she'll kick it, you know. And I see that. That's what this is. It's that destructive spirit. They don't take care of it. They destroy it. It's a spirit at work. And also, the taking the booty and plundering and looting and things taken by force, that's thievery. So it could be that somebody who compulsively steals is being affected by the bastard spirit. Theft is one of the manifestations. Okay, so here I was in this depression. So what happened? It lasted 4 years and really got to the point to where, you know, my marriage, I felt like I had destroyed the marriage. My husband and I were living in the same house, but we were just two people existing in the same space. We didn't talk to each other. There was no relationship. I had alienated him, see, because of that spirit of rejection. I saw to it that he rejected me. And it's the thing that you fear, being rejected, and yet you do everything you can to make people reject you. It's insane. So by this time, I had two little children, two little boys, and I was pregnant with my third. And when she was 6 months old, I couldn't stand it any longer. So I thought, well, I need, you know, I'm sick. I'm really sick, and I'm going to go see a psychiatrist. So I went to see a psychiatrist. Was in his office an hour once a week for 7 months. He didn't have the cure. He didn't even know what was wrong with me. You know, I paid $90 once a week for 7 months for him to listen to me. And after 7 months, one night, I couldn't sleep because of the depression. And I woke up, I was awake, and he had asked me one time when I was in his office, I just began to sob. And I mean, it was beyond sobbing. It was like from the other side of my toenails up. It was just like a death sob. And he said, how often do you do this? I said, every single day, every single day. And he said, do you know why you cry? And I thought, you know, I really don't. And that bothered me. So one night I thought, I'm going to figure this out. And I decided, it came to me that I was mourning my own death. So I went back there and told him that. And, you know, I knew he was, I'm not suicidal. I said, I am not suicidal. I'm telling you that I am mourning the death of the person I've always known myself to be, and I don't even know who I am. I don't know who I am, and that is scary. So that became my prayer. Lord, I need you to show me who I am. I don't know who I am. And see, that had been going on for a long time, this identity thing. And so one night, I was on the floor, crying out to God to help me. I cannot go on another day like this. And I had an encounter with Jesus. In fact, I was reading Psalm 18 this morning, and it says that he took me to a large place. And this is what happened to me. I know that it had to be a spiritual thing because it was too big to happen in my living room. But something began to happen. I even felt, I was down on the floor with my eyes, and I was closed, and I was crying, and all of a sudden I felt there was a difference in the atmosphere. And when I opened my eyes, I was not in my living room. But I was at the foot of the cross. And I looked up, and all I could see was his eyes. And like Louise was talking about in the ladies' meeting, I was just enveloped in his love. You feel it. It's an actual, he just enveloped me with the look that was coming out of his eyes, and he began to speak to me, and his mouth did not move. And he began to tell me who I was, like Richard said. You know, we need to know who we are. And if you don't know who you are, let that be a prayer that God will show you who you are to him. And he began to tell me, you know, like, I created you. There's not another one like you in the world. Some of the things that Richard said this morning. You are unique. He created me. I am unique. There's not another one like me in the world. And at the time I was thinking, thank God. I mean, it'd be a hard place to live in if there was another one. But what he meant was, is that, you know, he has put things in me. He created things in me for a purpose. And because I had not found my purpose yet, I like to look at it like, we all know what a lawnmower is for. But if I tried to give you a haircut with a lawnmower, it would not work out very well. So what we do is we're born and we don't even know our purpose, and we have these things that God has gifted in us, but we're not using them for what he gave them to us for, and we usually end up with a mess. And that was my life, a mess. And so he just began to tell me how much he loved me. And it's like Richard said, when he was looking at that little boy in the boat, I mean, I just understood what he meant. His love went to this child. God's love came to me, and there's no pushing it away. You want it. And once you experience that, it changes your life forever. And it makes the difference between wanting to love somebody and actually loving them. Because we don't have love until God puts that love in you. You can't give something that you don't have. And so he changed my life. And my response to that, you know, he this was the thing that he said that gave me freedom. He said, I want you to stop trying to live up to all the expectations that everybody has of you. Because I was in a state of confusion. I said, Lord, I am a 30-year-old woman. I have children of my own. And I'm still trying to please my mother and daddy. I'm still a little girl. And I'm a mother, and I'm a wife, and a sister, and a niece, and a granddaughter, and all these things. And they all had these expectations of me, or I thought they did, and I was trying to live up to those, and I couldn't do it. I had expectations of what kind of mother I should be, what kind of wife I should be, what kind of daughter I should be. And I had all these expectations for myself. I couldn't live up to those either. So he said, stop trying to live up to all those expectations, even the ones that you have for yourself. You live and move and have your being in my presence. You be about what I've called you to do. And you live your life to please me, and you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks or says. And that is freedom. I was made free. I didn't get free. I was made free. And he wants to do that for you as well. So that's why I have such a passion to bring this knowledge of the bastard spirit so that it can be broken off of your life, so that you can receive the love of God the way He wants to give it to you, and then so that you can be an expression of His love to others. And it's only after that happens that you can do that. Otherwise, it's just works. And man, let me tell you, works gets old. Works makes you tired. And that's not what He's called us to. One time I even asked the Lord, what are you talking about? What works? The disciples said, what must we do to do the works that you do? Or something to that effect. And He answers them and He says, the work is to believe on the one whom He hath sent. It's all about your relationship with Jesus. That's the work. And once that happens, you enter into His rest. And then He does the work. That's the delightful part. I don't tire myself out trying anymore. You quit trying and you just be. You know, he said, when that power comes, which I believe is His love, and the Holy Ghost, you know, all of those things. But when it comes, you don't have to witness. You will be a witness. Right in your own home, wherever you are, you just be. And it's an easy thing once it's there. Okay, so He came, I had the encounter, He poured out His love, and all of a sudden my whole world changed. The next time I was with my mother and daddy, I'll never forget, it was the weirdest thing. They're still my mom and dad, but wow, something's different here. It's like now they're not only my mother and daddy, they are my brother and sister in Christ. We're all on the same plane now. So it's exciting to be delivered from the bastard spirit. Let me see. Okay, if you don't, the rejection causes you to act in a way so others will reject you. So could this be the root of, like, gangs? Because they, you know, they're rejected. They all have a spirit of rejection, so they all come together and they form like a family. They dress in a way that's scary. You know, they involve themselves in activities that are unlawful and rebellious, destructive, even to death, killing. They have an allegiance to one another that just is mind-boggling. But everyone is looking for a place to fit in. This fear, this unnatural fear, in Jeremiah 20, verse 3, there is a name, Megor Misabib, and it means terror on every side. And usually people who have the bastard spirit have a lot of fear because they don't feel loved, they don't feel protected, so they feel unprotected. And when you're insecure and you feel unprotected, the response to that is fear, because you don't know what's going to happen. So you're fearful of everything. You have a fear of being noticed. You don't want to be noticed because you're invisible. There's a fear of failure to the point that you won't even try. There's fear of success or fear of loss, unable to belong. You couldn't join in. That was another thing that ruled my life as a young person. You know, there were, it would never even have occurred to me to try out for cheerleader because that held me back. You're not good enough. You know, that lying spirit, there's a lying spirit very much at work there too. Constantly telling you, don't even think about it. Even as an adult, there would be things going on that I would like to be a part of, but nope. They're not going to want you to be a part of that. They're not going to want you in that. You know, it's a lying spirit that just constantly is lying to you. So you don't even try to fit in or try to be a part of anything. So, you know, that really bothered me that a lot of my childhood was robbed because I couldn't enjoy that spirit would not let me enjoy anything. And so after I was delivered of this, I was working with a youth club in my church, and we went to a seminar, and they picked me out of the crowd. See, I wasn't invisible anymore. So they picked me out of the crowd, and several people were going to do like a mime, you know, to work with the youth. So they gave me an assignment. I want you to mime prayer, but you can't make any of the, you know, you can't be obvious with it. Well, that was very intimidating to me because I didn't like to get up in front of people. So they told us that in the classrooms of the church, you can use any of the props that you find there. Well, there was a clown suit with a wig and a mask and everything. You know, that was perfect because I could hide. And they really liked what I did. And so the founder came up and he said, we'd like to invite you to be a counselor at our National Youth Club camp in Colorado. And I thought, wow. Well, I went and I got to be a kid. See, I never got to go to camp. I wouldn't even try to go to camp because it wouldn't be any fun. You're not going to have any fun. They don't want you to go. But, you know, God can restore those things that Satan has stolen from you once this is broken off of your life. God will bring those opportunities back to you. And, you know, so really I didn't miss out on anything. I don't feel deprived at all. Because he has allowed me to be parts of things and be included and to love and to be loved. And, you know, it's just been wonderful what he's done. And so we can look at a lot of things that go on in our world, and it has given me a compassion for people. Because where before you might look with judgment on things, you begin to have an understanding of why they're in that situation. I mean, I look at homeless people and I wonder, you know, are they there because they feel like they're not wanted anywhere? Is it rejection? You understand now when you see young people all dressed in black and they have chains and, you know, piercings everywhere, it's because they feel rejected. And therefore, they present themselves in a way that society will reject them so that that spirit is just perpetuated. So you begin to look at people with a different heart. You have compassion for them instead of, you know, like what people normally do. And that's a challenge. Another manifestation of someone who has the bastard spirit is they may be delusional or very braggart. There's a big pride thing, even though there's nothing to be prideful about, but they become, I call it a legend in their own mind. You know, they'll talk about themselves and it's just so blown up, you know, you're just like, wow, to be in your presence, you know. But, I mean, they do that because they feel so rejected that they have to present themselves in a way that, well, you'd be crazy to not, you know, bring them into your circle. It's a self-importance, a false identity. And it's a lot of people who are off into fantasy have been so rejected that they've had to create their own world in order to feel important and feel worthy of being accepted. People who have addictions is usually from the bastard spirit. Because of the rejection, they have so much pain that they will anesthetize, either with drugs, food, sex. A lot of people, this is one reason that so many young girls will become promiscuous, because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They may become overeaters or because they have a self-hatred. They even have rejected themselves. They will have self-destructive addictions like anorexia, where they deprive themselves of food. Or they get into the cutting thing because their pain, their emotional pain and their spiritual pain is so great that even the pain from cutting themselves relieves the pain from the deep rejection. Now that's pretty perverted, that you have to inflict pain to relieve pain. But that's what that's all about. Or they'll become obsessive with a hobby or books or movies or gambling or shopping or stealing or whatever your fix is. Usually people with the bastard spirit, they have multiple marriages because they can't give love or receive love. So didn't work with that guy, let's go to this guy or this woman. So you just go from relationship to relationship to relationship. It could be the explanation of why people stay in abusive relationships. So the guy beats me. I deserve that. I'm not worth anything anyway. I don't deserve anything good. So they stay with that, the very destructive spirit. It can cause divorces, fornication. That perpetuates. You know, it says in the Word that the things that are done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. Well, maybe, we never talk about the bad things. If we're talking about mom or grandmother or Aunt Sue or whatever, we're going to talk about the things that they did that were noteworthy. We're not going to tell them, well, you know, she got pregnant before she was married, and, you know, then the daughter gets pregnant before she was married. We don't talk about these things. We don't deal with them. We really don't know what to do with them, and they just perpetuate and perpetuate. It repeats itself. It can cause sexual dysfunctions, because if you can't receive love, then, you know, it can cause the woman to be frigid, the man to be impotent. Or there's lots of adulterous relationships, sex outside of the marriage, addiction to pornography, that's fantasy. It really is spiritual adultery. You may not be going outside the marriage, but you're committing spiritual adultery because you're getting your gratification from somewhere other than your wife. Or your husband. Hey, women are into that too. You shouldn't just put it on men. And then, when you're driven to do these things, then you got to deal with the guilt and the shame, self-hatred, depression. And of course, now we're beginning to really understand that spiritual things can work out into your flesh. So it can cause all kinds of diseases. A lot of people with the bastard spirit that have had multiple sexual partners now have STDs to deal with, or illegitimate children. So the good news is that Jesus... Oh, I didn't want to leave this out. One of the questions I always ask God when I would look at the story of King David was, Lord, why did the baby have to die? You know, King David took Bathsheba. They had a baby together. And the Lord... God just told them, the child will die. Now we look at that, and for years, I thought that was their punishment. But wow, why did it have to involve the baby? The baby was, you know, the baby didn't have anything to do with that. But after I understood the bastard spirit, I knew why the child would die. The child was a bastard. And the child could not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And David was a man after God's own heart. David was in the temple daily. And you know good and well he would have taken that baby in there with him, which would have broken yet another of the laws. So really, that baby dying was an act of mercy and grace for David. He may not have known it. He knew the law. Surely he figured it out eventually. But I thought that was interesting. Because the baby was a bastard and could not enter into the congregation of the Lord, the child had to die. And you can go through the generational line of David and see all the things that came upon David for his act of disobedience and for murder. I mean, a lot of things took place in that relationship with David and Bathsheba. A lot of alcoholics are spawned out of the bastard spirit because of that same pain that they want to kill. And then there's the walls those walls that we throw up that stand between the person who is hurt, that has the bastard spirit, and everybody else out here. We build up those walls of self-protection. But sadly, it also keeps God out. And so we want to break that today. Jesus Christ came to reconcile us. Let me read Ephesians 2, starting at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were once afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And in Romans chapter 8, this is important. If you have the spirit of the bastard working in your life because you were not properly loved or disciplined by your father or your mother, your parents, know this, in verse 15 of chapter 8 of Romans, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Through Jesus Christ, you're no longer a bastard, but you are a son of the living God, a brother of Jesus Christ. And so, that's what I want to do today, is for you to receive your citizenship into the family of God, to be brought into the congregation of the Lord, having this spirit broken forever off of your life, and being free from the spirit of rejection, self-rejection, rejection by God. So you even believe that God has rejected you, if this spirit is in your life. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted. So, let me just skim through my notes and make sure I didn't leave anything out. Oh, another manifestation is the spirit of infirmity. Because you've been so rejected and you feel like nobody loves you, You have these sicknesses like a hypochondria. You know, people always are fearing. They're always finding some little sick. Oh, I think this, and oh, feel this, and you know, all these things. Look at this. What do you think this is? And all of these things is because of rejection. It's the only way they feel they can get your love and your concern. And then it's okay for them to receive it. If you're sick, it's okay to receive that attention. And so the sickness, real or imagined, is there so that they can receive that feeling of being worthy to be worried about, or, you know, pampered and taken care of. You also have needs that there's just no solution to. Have you ever talked to somebody that just, they're just like a deep, dark hole of need? And no matter how much you pour into it, the hole just keeps getting deeper and wider and darker and more serious. No matter what you do, it's not enough. It can be the root of learning disabilities. The deaf and dumb spirit attaches itself because of the spirit of rejection. So children who have that, they don't feel worthy to be loved. They don't feel loved. So what does it matter whether they excel or not? So it can be a root of learning disabilities. Okay. I think that is it. So I want us just to bow your heads. And for just a minute, I want you just to think about what you've heard and what it was that jumped out at you as you heard it being spoken. because that's usually the way when something is, when light is shined on an area of darkness, it has a pricking effect. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like if I called your name, just came out and called your name. If you have any of these things that were mentioned, it jumped to attention when it was mentioned. So I want you to think about what exactly those things were. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge of the bastard spirit. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come against the bastard spirit. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus and I break it. I break the spirit of the bastard, that spirit of being alienated, the feeling that you are not loved. I come against that unloving spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the antichrist spirit that comes with it, that is not interested in the things of Christ. I come against all antichrist spirits right now in the name of Jesus. The rejection of the knowledge of God right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break the spirit of the bastard, of not being loved, of not being in the family of God. On the outside looking in, never fitting in, not being good enough. In the name of Jesus, I break every spirit of the bastard. In Jesus' name, the unloving spirit, not being able to receive the love of God, not being able to give love. In the name of Jesus, I break that unloving spirit right now. Spirits of feeling unworthy, unworthy to be loved. I bind you and break you right now in Jesus' name. That spirit of alienation, like you don't belong. Nobody wants you around. The spirit of rejection. In Jesus' name, I bind and break every spirit of rejection. Right now, you go. You spirit of rejection, I command you to go. Take a deep breath and just let it out. Let it out. In Jesus' name, a deep breath. I command every spirit that was mentioned right here, that spirit of violence and anger, the spirit of anger, you go in Jesus' name. All spirits of rage, irritability, go in Jesus' name. Being sensitive, the spirit of offense, being easily offended, wearing your feelings on your shoulders, just waiting for somebody to offend you in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of inferiority, feeling like you're not as good as anybody else, that everybody else is better than you. I break that spirit of inferiority right now in the name of Jesus. You go. Every spirit of inferiority, go right now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of rebellion, not conforming. I come against every spirit of rebellion against authority, rebellion against God in Jesus' name. I break your power of rebellion, all spirits of rebellion, rebellion against your father, rebellion against your mother, rebellion against your husband, rebellion against your wife, rebellion against yourself, rebelling against your own self in the name of Jesus. I bind and break every spirit of rebellion. You go in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of timidity, all spirits of timidity, shrinking, invisibility. Go in Jesus' name, like nobody can see you, like nobody cares about you, like you don't even matter. Go in Jesus' name. I come against aggressiveness, all spirits of aggressiveness and touchiness, supersensitivity. Go in Jesus' name. The narcissistic spirit. I come against the narcissistic spirit, that you're so wrapped up in your own self. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit of narcissism. Go in Jesus' name. I bind the ugly spirit. I bind the spirit that tells you you're ugly. Nobody wants to be around you. I come against the unclean spirit. Excessive body odor. Not wanting to keep yourself clean. In Jesus' name, all those sloppy spirits, trashy spirits, spirits of destruction. In the name of Jesus, you go right now. Come off of God's people right now. Thievery, I come against the spirit of theft and stealing and lying and bragging in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride and puffing yourself up. I come against the spirit of the loner. Those spirits of isolation, isolating yourself. In Jesus' name, you go. all spirits of destruction, not taking care of the things that God has given you, disrespect, disrespect for yourself, disrespect for others, in Jesus' name, all spirits of disrespect, go in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of Megormisibib, terror on every side. You spirit of fear, I bind you and break your power right now. All spirits of fear, go in the name of Jesus. Perfect love, cast out all fear. Now fear, you go. Go. Lord, I ask right now that you would just drop, Lord, a blanket of love over every one of us right now. If we've never experienced your love the way you want us to, Lord, I'm asking that you come with an anointing of love for everyone that is sitting here right now. And that love will cast out all fear, all terror. Go in Jesus' name. Phobias, all unnatural fears, go in the name of Jesus. All phobias and fears, go in Jesus' name. I come against nightmares. Nightmares in the name of Jesus. All nightmares. I break your power and command you to go. All tormenting spirits of abandonment, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of abandonment. Fear of never being loved. Fear of never having anybody. Fear of never getting married. Fear of being married. All fear spirits, go in Jesus' name. I come against the lying spirit. Right now, I break the power of the lying spirit that's been lying to God's people, that God doesn't love you. See, he didn't come through for you. See, he doesn't love you. I bind that lying spirit right now. I command you to shut up in Jesus' name. I give leave to the lying spirit right now in Jesus' name. I deafen the ears to the lying spirit in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bondage, I break all spirits of bondage right now. I bind you and break your power. Overeating, not eating, starving yourself, inflicting pain, self-inflicted pain, self-destructive spirits, cutting yourself, drugs, alcohol, addictions to pornography, to shopping, exercising, any obsessive compulsive disorder right now in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power off God's people. I break the spirit of divorce. I bind and break the spirit of divorce that comes down through the family line due to rejection in Jesus' name. I come against abusive relationships. I bind abusive relationships in Jesus' name. I break the power of abusive relationships and staying in relationships because you feel like you deserve to be abused in Jesus' name. All abuse, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. All sexual dysfunctions, I speak right now and break every sexual dysfunction. I come against all sexually transmitted diseases that have come down through promiscuous activity due to the bastard spirit in Jesus' name. I come against guilt, all spirits of guilt and shame and self-hatred in Jesus' name. All spirits of guilt for things that you've done, trying to anesthetize the pain in Jesus' name. I break that spirit of guilt. I break the spirit of shame off of you in Jesus' name. I come against depression, sorrow, grief, emotional pain, in the name of Jesus, all spirits of sorrow and grief, deep hurt from rejection, rejection by God, rejection by daddy, rejection by mother, rejection by preachers, rejection by siblings, coaches at the school, teachers, all rejection from friends, husbands, wives. I come against the spirit of offense. Every spirit of offense, being easily offended, being offensive, I come against the spirit of being offensive in Jesus' name, pushing people away, holding people at arm's length, not letting anybody get close. I come against the spirit of the gypsy that goes from place to place to place to place, the homelessness and not being able to be settled, not being able to settle in one place, but moving from one place to another, to another, to another. I come against the spirit of drivenness to perform so that you'll be accepted. I come against the spirit of works, so that people will admire you and accept you in Jesus' name. All spirits of works. I come against bitterness, unforgiveness. All spirits of bitterness and unforgiveness in Jesus' name, I bind you and break your power. All bitterness and unforgiveness, resentment, all spirits of idolatry, making gods out of your drugs or your food or whatever you ran into for comfort. In the name of Jesus, I break all spirits of idolatry. Now, Lord, I ask that you just come, circumcise their hearts to receive your love. Lord, let them receive your love right now. I release the spirit of adoption on everyone sitting here, a spirit of adoption, that you're no longer a bastard, but you are a son of God, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we forgive our own fathers that have not loved us the way we needed them to love us. Lord, we pray for them because they're probably hurting too. We ask you to bring this knowledge to them that they can be delivered of the spirit of the bastard themselves so that they can receive love, that they can begin to love their children the way you intended them to be loved. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful Father. Lord, I tear down that wall of division right now that has separated, that they've even put up themselves to protect themselves from being hurt. I tear down every wall of self-protection right now so that the Father can touch where you need to be touched. Lord, we just thank you that you are a faithful Father. And Lord, I pray that every person that heard this message, Lord, will begin to seek that encounter with you, that they can receive that love, the love that they've been looking for all their life long. Forgive us for having expectations that can't be met by anybody but you. Forgive us for expecting from our husbands the place that only you can fill. We forgive our parents, Lord, our fathers and our forefathers. I break the generationally inherited spirit of the bastard. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you right now. Thank you that we are your children. Lord, I invite all those who have never entered into your congregation to enter in now. Enter into the congregation of the Lord. Enter into his presence. Enter into his love. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBConline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.